This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
To find the proper statistics for it. So that way our lovely listeners who are now tuned in can know what's going on. But it is the Nerdcast. The box office. We can't talk badly about other sites. We're recording now. I hope my audio sounds good too. We didn't even really test. I just started recording episode 211 of the Nerdcast, brought to you by Geek Garage. Do I sound okay, Adam?
I mean, you sound like you, so if our listeners are okay with that, then...
The volume level? Oh, I see what you did there.
See? It's a dig. It's a dig.
I got it. Well, you sound close to the level that I hear myself in my head, so I guess it's good. I guess we're good to go. It's episode 211, The Nerdcast, brought to you by Geek Garage, geek-garage.com. Go check out all the coolest pop culture and movie and geek and everything-themed vehicles all over the world. They just did a cool, awesome event here in Denver. It's a Haunt in the Hangar. So it's like a giant hangar, like at an airport, where they turn into like a haunted house type thing. And so they had all the Geek Garage vehicles out there as well. Pretty cool. Nice. Not all of them, obviously. I don't think the ones from across the world came over. But, you know, some of them. Anyways, you can also check out their Facebook page to see pictures from that. I don't know if they put the photo. They should start putting the photos of events up on their website, too. Why not? Anyways,
I mean, sponsoring us. Don't tell them how to run their website.
I'm not. I'm just saying. I'm just a suggestion. Anyways, it's Adam and myself, Iggy. Obviously, we're here. Bob, let's guess work or football game. What do you think, Adam?
I want to say football game, but I don't. Yeah, no, I think crap. I don't know if the Chiefs are home or away this weekend.
They were away last week because they were here in Denver when we were driving. We're like, we've got to get out of town early enough Thursday to head to the Tallgrass Film Festival because people from Kansas City might be pouring in because right now they're just dismantling, even without their quarterback, dismantled the Broncos. Poor Denver. So I'm going to guess football game. I'm going to guess football game. And maybe later game, but I think they're doing the cookout and everything, tailgating, all the fun football stuffs. Tyler, we got confirmation for him, so it's not as fun of a guess. He did say he's working.
You know, he's working. Of course, he's probably working like 2 to 8 and just didn't want to get up.
Right. And maybe that's it. It's like, I worked yesterday and I've got to work like tonight. So I'm just going to stay here for a while. I wanted to lay in bed all day. But as I was telling the story before we started recording, which I said would have been a good story, is it's snowing here and it's supposed to be our first like really big snow. We've had 2 snows already. This one's pretty big. But again, it's been like in this, like yesterday was, so the temperature dropped. The high today is 30. And it was a 45 degree drop from the high from yesterday to today. So like it's been in the 70s even. So of course, nothing's sticking to the ground. So as I was telling you, I thought I'm like, I hit the gym. I've got to get some of this video over to our video editor from last weekend's event, which we'll get into in a little bit. And I go out there and like 20 minutes of trying to get like an inch thick ice off my windshield, I just gave up. And hey, podcasts are getting edited this morning. That's what matters now, right?
There you go.
I may be gaining a few pounds back while snacking and editing podcasts, but content's getting done. So cool. We've been busy, crazy lately. And I think we met 2 weeks ago for 209. Last week's 210 was from the Tallgrass Film Festival. So go check that one out. And Adam, you went and saw Zombieland 2.
Yes.
You did. And I believe your comments were somewhere, it was surprisingly good or it was better than expected.
Oh, yeah, it's way better. I mean, it's way better than a sequel to that movie has any right to be, right? Like, I mean, does that make sense? I love Zombieland. Like, saw it in the theaters multiple times, took lots of people to see it in the theaters because I'm like, this movie is fantastic. They play really, really well with the zombie genre, the Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg, their interactions are amazing. Same with Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin. Like, the cast is fantastic, the way they do everything. And so when they said, it's been 10 years, we should do another one of those, it's like, oh, that that can't be good. Like
this it's been 10 years.
Yeah, dude.
Since the last one. Wow.
At least. And so I was like, oh man, as a big fan, I was both kind of excited and kind of definitely very nervous. But they crushed it. It is fantastic. It's got the good parts of the first one. They added in some new things. Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you go into obviously any movie wanting to pick it apart, you can. You'd be like, well, how are zombies evolving in 10 years? That doesn't make any sense. Like, there's plenty of things to pick through. If you go in, this is a ridiculous movie. And it, I think the best part about Zombieland and certainly Zombieland 2 are that it owns that. It's like, oh yeah, this is ridiculous. And it's fully ridiculous. The first one is a quest to find someone Twinkies. So, you know, that's what they're going with. It's perfect. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. I would recommend anybody go see it.
So I hadn't seen it and I went to see the Joker or Joker without the this weekend. And I wanted to see Zombieland 2. I was not excited for Joker, to be honest. And I was hoping, you know, everybody had talked positively on it and stuff. And I went and saw that one this weekend. I was not overly excited about it. Let's go with that wording. I did not walk out happy. I was not angry that I went and saw it.
Happy because
it's, well, that's not that's that fair.
Kind of movie.
That's fair. I was okay. So minor spoilers ahead. One is it, like, to qualify as a DC movie, do Bruce Wayne's parents have to die in the movie? Like, Bruce Wayne is not like, this is not even about Batman. It's supposed to be a standalone Joker movie. And they die. And so I'm assuming right now already in Birds of Prey or the Fabulous Emancipation of one Harley Quinn, we are going to see Thomas and Martha Wayne die again. Like, it's just going to happen. We're going to see their death once more. And then I even made the joke with the people we're at the movie with is that even in the Flashpoint paradox, before the Flash changes time, you're going to see them die before he goes and changes it to, because if you're not familiar with the Flashpoint story, Thomas Wayne becomes Batman. And Martha becomes the Joker because Bruce gets killed in the alley. So that's the whole point of the Flashpoint paradox, which that's just minute compared to the whole big story of Wonder Woman and Aquaman are at war. And it's just, it takes over all of like Great Britain. And so sorry, Adam, but it's just, you know, I'm really excited for Flashpoint story. I want them to make it into a movie. You can check out the animated one or obviously do this thing that's called reading, you know, because there was the comic out for it. But point being, they died again. And there's one scene, you know, it's coming. Like, you know, somebody's about to die in the scene. And the way he dies is so brutal that everybody in theater. And this is like, what are we 3 or 4 weeks since it's been released? And this is still the most full, this new draft house up here, that's still all surrounded by construction because the whole downtown area is being redone. The most full I've been in a movie for any movie. And this is like a month later in the theater, you just hear a collective, like that tense sigh or whatever. And it just goes, and you know what scene I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, we couldn't stop laughing. Cause the one guy,
yep.
And he's like, yep. And then he kisses him on the head. That alone was probably the best bit of writing in the movie for sure. In a lot of movies this year, that was a really good part. I did like it. So there were definitely some fun spots to it. My complaints would be, I think, which if other people who haven't liked it have said the same thing, I just, the pacing just didn't do it for me. It was a little slow at times. And there was a lot of parts where I was like, something else could have happened here that could, I think, further define the character, or we just didn't even need this part. And the other part is just, I don't like when, I think you said it on a previous podcast after you saw it. If this wasn't called Joker, if there was no Gotham City ties, would this have been a much better movie? And I think so, because I felt at times they seemed like they did obviously mess with the source material, but at times it felt like they were just going to destroy that source material. Luckily there was a few twists with it, but I was about to check out after one thing. I was like, nope, I'm out. Like if the mom's claims are true, like I'm done, like I'm not even going to finish this movie. So I think all that kind of turned me off a little bit. What's crazy, which we were also talking about when we started recording, looking up, is Maleficent 2 is out. It was out last weekend. And I didn't even know that. I thought it was this weekend.
Neither of us knew that. Yeah.
Right. Well, so
I think it was out this. I'm going to say in my defense, I don't think it was out here last weekend. I think it was here this weekend.
Fair. You do have that argument. But this weekend, it is Joker moved back up ahead of the sequel with $18.9 million. So domestically, the Joker has earned $277.5 million at the box office. Globally, I saw an article that said it is near or has hit a $500 million profit. It's crazy. So it is raking in the money.
Highest grossing R-rated movie, right?
Did it get that title already?
I thought it took that from Deadpool.
Damn it. I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my last complaint. Same complaint I had with Deadpool 2. We needed more Zazzy beats. Like, where we just need more, and it always need more beats, right? Like, in there.
There's never a situation where I'm like, you know, we could have done without that.
No, and the way they used her, I really liked it too, really, especially at the end. So there was definitely some strengths. And I think I said, when I commented in our podcast group conversation, I said, I think I need to see it again without the, because now I've seen it when the hype train's up, right? So even though my expectations were low, I know what's buzzing around it. So I think I just need to see it again without all that hype and kind of just take it in for what it is. Ignoring the Batman tie-ins, ignoring the hype, might like it a little more. I will agree. Joaquin Phoenix was phenomenal, but the guy's crazy anyways. Like, I don't want to say it too loud, but he's definitely crazy. That was like Jack Nicholson playing the Joker. He was just being himself playing the Joker, right?
A little bit. I mean, so you've got a bunch of stuff there. Like, the really weird thing is I think that movie is probably better than the hype made it out to be. And the hype was just hyping the wrong things, I think. If that makes any sense at all. Like,
it does.
Like, oh, it's so good, it's so good, it's so good. And you watch it and you're like, there's no way everybody who thinks this movie is that good likes it for what I think are probably the reasons it's really a very good film.
Well, I think you're right. The hype stuff was definitely the nerd culture coming out and saying, no, we can have these types of movies without the media trying to twist it to where terrible things are going to happen. So that's why they went out and supported it in droves and then just kind of got very vocal about it too. The other hype thing is Joaquin Phoenix is an actor. One, we've all known Joaquin Phoenix is a solid actor. Like, we've seen some great movies with him. I don't believe this is, he better not win an actor award for this at the Academies. I don't think it's worthy of that. If he gets nominated, I won't be angry, but this is not like, oh my gosh, the way some people are. But I think you're right. Those are the two where I felt like the hype and the discussion has been for the past month on those two things.
Yeah, and they're definitely there, but I think when you really stop and you look at it, the way, and I think if you watch it again, for me, the pacing does an amazing job at really kind of building tension, I think, and drawing out moments that are supposed to be uncomfortable, or leaving the last thing you felt as something that's like, ugh, just make you sit in that uncomfort for just a little bit longer, because it's really trying to build on that. And so I didn't mind the pacing so much. Pretty sure I said it before, and I'll say it a bunch of times when we talk about it. If it weren't called Joker, hell, I'd even call it Taxi Driver 2 before I called it Joker, right? Like, I mean, I think it fits better with that, and you just leave the weird Batman stuff out of it so we don't have to watch Thomas and Martha die again.
Or Thomas Martha.
But it's so good. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I really liked it. Probably better than I thought it was going to be. And again, I think better than the hype even built it out to be, just in a different way.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to give it another go before I make a final verdict on it. My same thing, I think it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the last time we had this conversation, where I love Tarantino. I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. People were saying it was one of his best. I don't know if I would say that after initial viewing, but again, it's because I'm going in hearing this might be one of Tarantino's best. Which I also need to then protect myself for the upcoming Scorsese, because that's all we're hearing is how The Irishman and Scorsese's best. I don't want to, if I go in comparing it already to Goodfellas, and you mentioned Taxi Driver, you know, these ones that we're talking about, then I'm already expecting the world of it, right?
Yeah. Are we in a place in movies where, does it seem to you, where you can't just let a movie be a movie? It needs to be the next this, or the best version of that. Or everything's so tied to everything else that's happened before, it won't just let a movie stand. Like, just let a movie be a movie. It doesn't have to be Scorsese's greatest film to be
right.
Damn good movie. Like, I mean, because that's a high bar that you're setting to call it his best.
he's got a lot of damn good movies that aren't his best. Like, I would not put Gangs of New York as his best movie, but that's a damn good movie, right? Like The Departed, even the one that finally got him his awards, that's not his best. And arguably some people might say, but I don't think it's his best, but it's a phenomenal movie, right? So I agree with you. I don't think it's just movies though. I think that's just the world we're in right now. Everything is tied or compared to something, right? When's the best example is, and I know, ooh, sports, go sports, right? So my sport is happening right now. My team's in at the World Series. But every time a player does something, you know, there's the announcement, oh, he's the oldest or the youngest or the first Mexican or the first person born in this small town in Wisconsin. It's always comparative to something instead of just, look at this. This guy came out and pitched a great game and got them back in the series. Well, no, we have to mention how he's the second Mexican-born player to win a World Series game. That's great. That's great. If he was the first, let's talk about it a lot more. But, like, let's hope he's not, you know, let's hope we have that same time to say, here's the third and the fourth and the fifth. I just don't know why, again, I think kind of building on what you're saying, we have to compare everything to everything now.
It can't just be good enough on its own. It's an amazing feat.
Yeah. No, and
itself, like, let it be its own thing. I'm with you.
And financially, Joker is going to be an amazing feat because it's already, like you said, smashing money. They're already talking a sequel. I, for one, even though not crazy about the movie, I'd love to see him as the Joker in the DC extended universe now. Well, far better than our other Joker we had. He was
weird about all that nonsense.
I was just about to go into that. He's not happy about it. He's getting all defensive and stuff. So our wonderful 30 Seconds to Mars singer and fantastic actor. I'm dropping his name right now.
Wow. Jared Leto, man.
Thank you, Jared Leto. God, that was terrible. It's been a busy couple weeks. And so Jared Leto, I got the band and I got everything else.
Yeah, how are you going to pull 30 Seconds to Mars right? out, not Jared Leto?
Right? So is everything from his smaller role in Fight Club all the way up to his Academy Award winning role in Dallas Buyers Club. Fantastic. Obviously, he was the modern day gangster mobster style Joker that just does not fit the bill. And we all, you know, when it was showing, we were all kind of like, ugh. But we had to give it an opportunity, right? Because Jack Nicholson isn't the comic Joker. We just said it. Jack Nicholson was Jack Nicholson. Heath Ledger was far from anybody expected as Joker. And that performance still stands as probably the best Joker performance live. Because then you have the animated Joker voice, which is Mark Hamill, which... Oh,
so fantastic.
But I mean, so it's hard to say that there's one defined Joker, right? Especially over, what are we talking, like 80 plus 100 years now almost of Batman and Joker existing. So, excuse me, but he's a bad Joker. And he was pretty quiet about this standalone movie. But as the money came in and the buzz grew and the award nomination talk, and now all of a sudden even the talk about how could this tie into the greater universe, Jared Leto's not too happy about it all and doesn't understand why they didn't use him for this movie.
Doesn't understand lots of things. There's reports out then that they chopped a bunch of his Suicide Squad footage.
And oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Specifically because of his performance, not because it didn't help the film, but because he is not what they wanted as the Joker. And I remember our talks and leading up to Suicide Squad, and it was like, you know, there's a bunch of rumors out there that he's Jason Todd, and that works a little bit because, you know, crazy things happen to him. And he gets twisted. Okay, sure, no problem. You got all sorts of crazy stuff going on. But, you know, in the end, this is a bad vehicle for sure. So I don't think anybody really shined in Suicide Squad minus Margot Robbie. We're going to get plenty of that going forward.
I think weekly we have to put our Suicide Squad Easter egg into every episode.
Right, pretty much. But then he wasn't good in it either. Like Will Smith wasn't a good Deadshot.
Nobody was. Margot Robbie is really well cast as Harley Quinn. Other than that, I agree. And we ripped into it 2 weeks ago when we were all together and kind of made fun of the Captain Boomerang thing, you know, interpretations on what's happening with the next ones. It's not a sequel and all that stuff. I don't know, but it's, yeah. Anyways, he's not the Joker. And I would, if we're going to continue this and tie this in, Joaquin Phoenix taking over that Joker role, I think would make more sense. Both financially, acting wise, and buzz wise for Warner Brothers, right? Yeah, like everything about it would make sense for him to become tied in. And a sequel is obviously imminent with how much money it's made. And spoilers, the fact that the Joker does not follow the fate of Thomas and Martha Wayne, right? So sequel is definitely going to happen, I think is the way to put it. But continuing on, another movie, I took Evie, we saw before I left to Wichita for the Tallgrass Film Festival. We went saw Adam's Family, the new animated one.
Nice. What'd you think of that?
It's definitely targeted at kids. They still have some of that Adam's Family flair to it, you know, with Morticia and Gomez kind of torturing each other lovingly and things like that. A good message without it like ruining the movie. Nick Kroll is Uncle Fester, of course, easy win right there. They did a few things with the family that I didn't like, you know, Morticia having some issues with the mother-in-law. And I'm like, the whole idea of the Addams Family is that they all just fit together perfectly. And to introduce some of those common, mom-in-law issues or whatever, but it was fun. It was good. She loved it. And so it definitely hit the target audience. It's obviously no 90s, either Addams Family or Addams Family Values. Those, gosh, I can watch those over and over again still. But that cast then too was so perfect. But the voice acting did good. I really liked the way they were drawn. So they kind of look odd at times, but they're so pale compared to everybody. And then like Wednesday, her hair braids come into little nooses like down here and stuff. And it's pretty good stuff. Enjoy it. It's fun. And it's really about finding your own way and being different, and being different's okay, which I think the Addams Family has always been kind of about. So I'm not too mad that they, in a kids movie version of it, really targeted that. So it was fun. Long answer short, it was fun, right? But
what it should be, right?
Right. But Maleficent 2, I mean, that clearly is going to, you know, got our attention now, since neither one of us knew it was out or is out. You don't even know when it's out over there.
The only reason I know it's there is because I went and saw The Shining in the theater this weekend.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, Maleficent 2's out. I'm like, why are all these kids here?
Why are these kids here? Gosh, I don't even know why, like how I don't want to look it up right now because we got plenty to talk about, but I just don't even know how much money the first one did, how we get a second one to where she's now like the antagonist protagonist. Like, how do you even define this character as now being the heroine in the movie? Like, I don't even understand.
Because her character starts just, I mean, that was a long time ago. Those were the original cartoons from the 50s, right?
Right.
So, and she was the definition of evil for like 55 years.
For Disney, you still see that face in the early animated, you know, Maleficent face.
Right. So like 50 years, five decades, she is the embodiment of evil and trying to corrupt, I don't even
see. Princesses.
Snow White.
whichever. It wasn't Snow White. It is Sleeping Beauty. We're Aurora. Wait, okay. So Cinderella has the evil stepmother. Snow White has, it's the witch with the apple.
Yeah.
So it's not Maleficent.
That's also a stepmother or something.
Yeah, right. I think so, right?
No, that's Maleficent because you get the,
are you sure?
The mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all?
Yeah, that's not Maleficent that does the mirror. Okay, you go into her evil thing. I'm going to look it up.
Sure it is. But anyway, you've got Maleficent who, and all of the Disney antagonists, the, you know, the evil stepmother and all those kinds of things. I mean, they're supposed to be evil incarnate for all intents and purposes. These are simple stories for children to enjoy. And then all of a sudden with the first film, you get some sympathy for her, I suppose. And now they're just like, nope, anti-hero. She is the Deadpool of the Disney universe. You're not supposed to like her, but you do. So here's more of her.
So it is Aurora, which is also known as Sleeping Beauty. So that is the princess from the original Maleficent. I was confused there too, because I can picture the apple with Maleficent for some reason, right? And that's the Snow White one, but I don't know. It is Sleeping Beauty. And in this movie, she marries the prince. I assume that woke her up in Maleficent now owning the responsibilities of being like, I am her guardian. I need to protect her. And then like other Maleficent type creatures are like trying to create problems or something. So she has to go. I don't know.
Maybe it's the mother-in-law. Maybe it's his mom that they're having trouble with now.
Well, I think part of it is ripoff, right? Part of it is their family is angry because she's not technically royalty and comes from this, like, she's basically her guardian is a registered demon, right? Like at this point. So something like that.
The embodiment of pure evil, right?
Right. For 50 years. So I don't know. Just watch the trailer. If we have not made this easier on you, there's a trailer out there that probably is just as confusing.
I mean, Disney's good at those kind of things. I'm sure it's a good trailer.
We probably
just neither of us have seen it.
I watched the trailer once with Evie. She's super excited about this movie. I didn't even know she saw the first one. When it comes out on TV on Disney Plus, okay. That I already have 3 years for. Right?
Oh,
I've already paid for the kids. I've got you covered. I've already paid for Disney for 3 years, so you're gonna wait till it comes out on Disney Plus.
Right? I've already paid for that movie. We're waiting.
Yep.
I'm getting super screwed with the whole Disney Plus situation over here.
Yeah, tell us about it.
It's not good. Well, I mean, it's perfectly fine. It's just not great. So it's not going to be available until early 2020 in the UK, at least. Disney has a deal with Sky, which is a cable provider over here, that they have a Sky Disney channel that has exclusive rights to show certain movies already.
Through the end of the calendar year, right?
Into 2020. I don't know.
Oh,
I think I've heard May, but then all the reports have said early 2020, which usually means first quarter. So March or April, who knows?
Early is very vague.
It's super vague and it's really pissing me off. Cause you can't, like, I can't do anything. Like I can't pre-sign up. I can't do anything yet. In the UK, I can sign
and you
up
can't like, we can't sign up. And then you log in from over there, right? Like, because it'll still be IPs blocked and everything.
Yeah, when I go to the website, it's just like, this is where Disney Plus will be. And you can get more information. And that's it. Like, you can't sign up yet. You can't even log in. You can't do anything. And so it's like, oh, well, super. So, yeah, I'm not going to get to watch Mandalorian when it comes out.
Oh,
That's the one
I feel like, are you sure? Because so as you've gone over there, some of this stuff has been put on other streaming platforms. Disney now owning Hulu. I feel like Europe.
I don't get Hulu over here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, dude, you're screwed.
I know. Thank you.
I don't know, though. If you can't get Mandalorian into these countries, I feel like Disney's going to strike. Because some service then is going to pay Disney money to let that be over there, right? Like, you feel like...
But so that's what really makes me think that it is going to be early 2020. Because if they were potentially going to lose any money, they'd rent those rights out for a year or something, right?
Right.
Fine, let's put it on Amazon for a year and call it good or BBC, whatever. 1 year deal, no problem. Then we'll put it in. We'll take it back later. But it makes me think that since they haven't heard of anything like that, at least Disney hasn't emailed me any updates about it since they have my email address to give me more information on when I can sign up, that they're going to figure out something pretty quick so that they can start collecting their money. And that's at least in the UK. Right. About mainland Europe. They may have a better deal over there.
I don't know. But yeah, I feel like that's a good point because I feel like these series that are dropping when the series launches over here, that if it's going to be a while before you see it, that they would be striking some kind of six-figure deal, you know, with a Netflix or something
to do quick, international release. Just get in there for dirty for a year and call it good. I did get to watch Swamp Thing, though. So, I mean, that was a series that is on a streaming service that was canceled before even it had been out.
Done. I need to start it. I'm still on Discovery. So of the ones that I don't normally have access to, a friend was kind enough to give me access to some of these things. So I have Discovery, which is really good. I'm really liking it. And then I got to hit Titans and Swamp Thing to check out. But no, Discovery is really fun. I like it. But all right. So I was going to wait to talk about this with all the Halloween stuff because I do want to cover the film festivals first. But you brought up going to see The Shining in theaters. So how absolutely horrifying is that Dr. Sleep trailer? Like, is that not...
I'll tell you what, like, it's another one of those ones that was like, when I first saw it, I'm like, come on, man. That's like 40 year later sequel. But based on a Stephen King book, which was also written significantly later, and Ewan McGregor is solid pretty much always. So if he's in something, I'm probably on board.
That trailer, though.
It looks creepy.
I'm on board for sure. I'm going to go see it. like a 10 or 11 a.m. showing on a Sunday morning. So I go to church afterwards and not have to go to sleep for a few hours because, man, scary. We've talked a lot about this. Scary movies don't really scare me too often, mainly because of my upbringing with it. But The Shining is just, it is one that just sits with you. It's absolutely horrifying still, to this day.
I'll tell you what, and on the big screen, it was.
Yeah, you saw it on the big screen, right?
It was like big screen because we had this theater here called Cineworld. It's a chain, but they've got one that's down at like an arena. So, you know, that big dome thing they built for the Millennium, they used to call it the Millennium Dome.
Sure.
You've seen it in movies. James Bond slides down it once. It's like a big white dome with spikes that stick out from it.
Right.
Watch any movie based in London. They're going to show it.
No, I have it right. With the giant Ferris wheel and everything else that they always show when you're in London.
Yeah. That's farther down the river, but this they built as well. And it's a huge, it's a giant mall and it has an arena in it. And so we went and saw The Shining there and they got this gorgeous theater. And so it was huge screen and man, it was good. That opening title sequence, flying behind the car, and they do, you know, they work really hard to make sure you never see the shadow of whatever's doing the filming. I'm assuming a helicopter, and just the music and the isolation you feel just from that opening sequence it's so good. Oh my God. It really reminded me how good that movie is and how good Stanley Kubrick is. Jack Nicholson is both simultaneously terrifying and slightly funny in that. Like there are some scenes where you're just like, why would you do that? And that funny, I think, makes the scary parts even scarier. Like, oh, this is not okay. It's good. Oh, man. If you haven't seen The Shining, what have you been doing? Go watch The Shining. It's Halloween.
You obviously have been living under a rock if you haven't seen The Shining. I don't know. But yeah, so they did a cool premiere at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, which is where it's supposed to take place. But again, because I don't know why this is still argued about. Like there's the internet, you have facts about it. The movie itself was not recorded there. The TV miniseries was recorded at the Stanley Hotel, but it's supposed to take place at the Stanley Hotel because the Stanley Hotel is notoriously haunted for years. And they did a cool screening there, which brings me to the Denver Film Festival. The 42nd annual Denver Film Festival starts this week, right on Halloween is the opening gala. We will be there covering it, and I'm really excited because it's Rian Johnson's Knives Out for the opening one. Yes, with Rian Johnson here accepting his award from.
Oh, it looks so goddamn good.
Right?
Oh, my Lord.
Right? So as press, you are guaranteed to go, like you get guaranteed one ticket to any movie that's not a gala event. You can request a movie. I feel like that one's going to be sold out, so we were just planning on buying our tickets anyways, just pay for it so we can go do the red carpet stuff, do the interviews, talk to them, and then just still be guaranteed to get in instead of wondering if we're going to see it. Really excited for that. Motherless Brooklyn will be here with Ed Norton as well. It's supposed to be fantastic. His like talking about him directing is one of the big things that people are talking about with it. Let me see here.
Those are so good. Those movies are going to be amazing, man.
Right. Let's find out here. I don't know what I clicked into. And there's some other gala events that I can't get there right now because I'm messing up. Oh man. Yeah. There's tons of movies. You get, so they also show like classic movies and documentaries and everything. It's 42nd year and it's like 3 weeks and they're doing all that stuff. So you've got like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is showing, on Wednesday when it actually opens. Again, Thursday night is the gala. And that should be fun. Oh, Motherless, but that's during the red carpet. I can't go see Motherless Brooklyn on Thursday. So you have After Parkland, which I'm really interested in. It's a documentary, obviously huge to be showing here in Denver, considering After Columbine. And we have some other documentaries. I know we've talked to a few filmmakers. I think, Adam, you're probably going to be doing some interviews over the phone with some of them. Pretty exciting. Nightcrawlers, that's the one that we'll be doing there, right? So Boston's homeless group, The River, which I think people have been talking about, Honey Boy, which people have been talking about. That's what Shia LaBeouf and Otis Lort as he attempts to mend his contentious relationship with an abusive alcoholic father. So yeah, some crazy stuff there. And you can go check it out, Denver Film Festival. As always, head over to projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com to learn more about or to see what we cover. We did just get back from one of our favorite film festivals every year, the Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita. And like every year, it was a blast and a bit of a blur. So,
no.
The Ad Astra Award winner in filmmaking this year was Mr. Bobcat Goldthwait, and got a chance to sit down with him for about a half hour on the couch to do a little podcast there. So that'll be coming soon. In the meantime, Q over with Project Nerd, who's also a member of the High Five, the podcast, got to do the green carpet, not the red carpet interview with him. So we have that up on the site already. He is a fun one. He's really cool to talk with. And we're sitting down and they were setting up the audio. And so I'm explaining, you know, like, oh, this is the camera that's on both of us. This camera's directly on you. I said, but we're just going to have a conversation. So if you're looking at the cameras, look there, but we're going to talk. You can look at me. He goes, no, I'm just going to look at you the whole time. I'm going to look deep into your eyes the whole time. And you're going to be so horny. This is going to be the horniest, hottest interview you've ever done. And Ryan, who was running the camera, was like, damn it. Why didn't I get the audio running?
Why weren't we rolling? Why yes. weren't we recording always?
But he was great. He was hilarious. Highlight of my weekend was making him laugh about my narcolepsy explanation. Because shout out to Jimmy Kimmel out there, narcolepsy twins. So I was like, did he ever fall asleep while you're? He's like, no, but I wanted him to. So Bobcat, of course, said, I was like, of course you did. Of course you did. That was great. Some fantastic movies we've already started pumping reviews out for. Parasite was there, which right that week leading up to is right when it just went bananas attention to it. Right.
Up, yeah.
Right. So it was only in LA and New York, and it's going to win best foreign language film, like at all the awards. Like it was selling out screen, like 45 minutes before its screening on Saturday, they were already pushing out to the app as well as on the social media for Tallgrass. That was like, just don't come over here. It's already standing room only. We can't sell any more tickets. Bob saw it. He's going to write a film festival review of it for Another Perspective, but we do have a private screening review that Nick was able to get done once it premiered in Chicago. The Draft House Theater specifically, if you're in a town with the Draft House Theater, they've got a special menu for it. So
I was going to say, yeah, they've been blowing it up. And anytime they blow up something like that, I know it's going to win all the awards.
Right. I really interested to see it. So I have access to it because that's a cool treat we get when we go to film festivals. We get private access to movies. Bragging. But anyways, I'm going to check that out along with Red, White, and Wasted. Still have to check out, which was crazy. I was shocked by how many people don't know what mudding is. Like, you're from this, you've lived in the South. You know what mudding is.
Like
driving your vehicle through the mud. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. This is it's not complicated.
People have no clue what that is because it's a documentary about these Florida families that just get wasted and go mudding. So it's called Red, White, and Wasted.
Checks out.
And it's looks really interesting. And I think one of the highlights of the weekend for sure was Hudson, which I just put that movie review out for. Fantastic, wonderful movie. Wow. Like, just wow is all I can say. But there were some great movies there this year. And we got to connect with some of those filmmakers. They were fun. But the Red, White, and Wasted one was fun because we sit down at the table and we're hanging out with the Hudson crew. And they're like, oh, well, we want to see Red, White, and Wasted, but it's showing when we have to work the green carpet stuff, the gala event. And so they bring him over and she's like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, my dad's Stephen Lang. And then just moves on from it. Like, he didn't want to talk about it. And so I'm like, Stephen Lang's a fairly common name, right? So I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, was it Manhunter, like Tombstone, like that Stephen Lang? And so Q finally just straight up asked him. He's like, oh, I'm going to be that guy. Like Avatar Stephen Lang? And he goes, yeah, that's Stephen Lang. And he was cool. He was super cool. Never really talked about his dad through it all. But it was funny because the whole rest of the weekend, Q was beating himself up because he's like, I really went with Avatar, didn't I? I really said Avatar.
You lose a little bit of street cred on your movie knowledge if the only Stephen Lang film you can pull out is Avatar.
Right. But
that's all right.
So he was pretty beat up on himself about it, but it was interesting. Really looking forward to that film. Again, I think by the time this goes live, we'll have 5 reviews live, the green carpet stuff live, interviews still to come, about another 5 or 6 reviews to come. As always, we have extensive Tallgrass coverage. We love going out there. Thank you, as always, to the Tallgrass Film Association. They treat us like family. You know, we show up and we have special tickets to go see the Sugar Hill Gang already in our badges. We have access to everything. We go up to the after parties and people are chanting Project Nerd as we walk out. They were chanting nerds, like almost like movie style. Like
that's even better.
Yeah, it was better. It was fantastic. And it's just, we're treated like family there. And it's fantastic that we can leave an impression, because when we leave there and people involved with the festival are saying, I don't know what you guys do, but filmmakers can't stop talking about Project Nerd. Or we talked to Mary, who was the actress and producer for Hudson. And she's like, I don't know what you did to Sean, but he hasn't shut up about Project Nerd since they initially met you guys yesterday. And I was like, cool. That's what we want to do. We want to leave
you guys. We don't know what we do either.
Right. We're still figuring it out as we go. Anyways, this is that time of year where all the film festival coverage is coming out. Cause we just dropped, I have one more Boulder Film Festival interview that I'm going to drop. So those have all been rolling out. We've got the Netherlands Film Festival coming up. As I mentioned, the Denver Film Festival. Oh man, we have to watch all these movies and talk to all these filmmakers. All these
cool movies.
Exhausting. So painstakingly exhausting. Anyways, check it all out. All part of the Project Nerd tour stuff. What I really want to get into is, because this week is, I would put myself out on a limb there and say it's yours and your wife's maybe one of, if not your favorite holiday of the year, one of the top holidays for y'all.
It's right up there. Her favorite holiday has always been Christmas.
Christmas.
And well, it's going to be Thanksgiving because
the food.
I mean, people have heard us talk about food, so that shouldn't shock anyone. Halloween, though, is always a good time. We have difficulty because she always wants to do a couple costume, which I'm down for, 100% down for all the time. Every costume she comes up with, I have to shave my beard. I'm like, that's a non-starter.
It's like, not happening.
You make this so hard. I'm like, it's not hard. There are plenty of people with beards. You just need to pick one of them, any of them, and we'll make it work. And so
I think y'all should do Lana and Marco from Saga, because he eventually gets beard going, right?
I need to get that. That compendium or something, right?
Right. I think they've done like three of them now. Oh, yeah, they're doing like the mega. Like
the really big one, yeah.
Surprisingly dropped. You know what? There's an article about it over on Project Nerd. If you hit up that search bar, that can give you more information, right? So
that was the intention in bringing it up, Iggy.
Right. So I plugged it. I slid it in there. Slid it in there all night. But
smoothly done there, bud.
You guys be them. I can be the Will after he's like been already like traumatized and in the hospital. And so he's kind of got the gut going.
Which of your liar cats would you bring with you?
My lion cat?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you mean of the stuff I actually own? That's lying. No, like
9 or 10 of them.
No, I could bring, so I have all the different pop vinyl ones, or I have the statue, or I have the stuffed animal of it that actually whispers lying. But I think I would, we could have somebody make a little dress and turn Evie into a little lion cat.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
And let's see, Orion could be Gus Gus. We can make Orion Gus Gus there. I think he'd like that. That's one of his, he's read it now, and that's one of his favorite characters.
It's an amazing book. I think after this weekend, I think we've settled on Jack and Wendy Torrance.
Okay. Okay. Well, we obviously can't do a big group costume with you guys anyways, being that you're across the pond, eh?
And I don't think it's a huge, I don't think they do Halloween huge over here.
Yeah. I mean, anything that can put, make more money for large corporations and put more junk food in people's faces is going to succeed in the United States. So
we got a sugar tax.
All right.
Freaking expensive over here.
Good. I need to move there then, because I can't stop eating it. But I don't know. Okay. So what's the favorite costume you've ever done?
That's Sigmund Freddy Krueger.
I was going to say, that was a pretty good one.
That's my old standby. She goes, what are we going to be? I'm like, I don't know. Be something that can go with Sigmund Freddy Krueger. Right. She comes up with 25 different ideas that make me shave my beard. I'm like, no.
Right.
Stop it.
What's the favorite couple one y'all have done so far?
So we were in a group costume of Guardians of the Galaxy. That was pretty good.
That was just a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. She was Star-Lord and I was Ronan the Accuser. And then individual, I think 2 years ago, we did Pulp Fiction. She was Mia Wallace and I was Vincent Vega. And that was a pretty good one as well.
Yeah, you had to shave.
But again, definitely required the shaving. And I had to wear a wig. But I got a bolo out of it, so that's all right. That's a give or take.
Most memorable ones you've seen of people? I mean, obviously Tyler from The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, Tyler as Walter Sobchak is always a win.
Like, it's flawless. It's perfect.
It's a little creepy. And obviously, Tyler's got that weird eidetic memory where he can remember literally every line. I mean, we all know that movie quite well, but Tyler knows, like, with the inflection and everything. So
right.
That's a good one. I don't know. Who else? My friend Christina. Do you remember her Groot when we did that?
Yeah, she like that just for whole, a college party, like Halloween party, built a whole Groot like from scratch. That
full, was full bore. And it took us like 20 minutes to get her into that costume.
She was this is there. It's also hard because we see great costumes like all year round, right? Like,
and I'm trying not to pick our cosplayer friends. Like, that's
right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's fair. They put in the work. They've done it. But like, I want somebody who's just like, this is a one day thing for me.
Exactly. Yeah. George's Frank. He made the whole paper mache head and everything. That was pretty solid the one year. Mm-hmm. He went full out for that one too. Yeah, there's been some good ones. I don't know. I enjoy it. Okay, so what are y'all doing? Not big on Halloween over there. You gonna watch some movies? Gonna watch some horror movies? Are you gonna
We'll probably go see Dr. Sleep. It comes out on Halloween here.
It does. I think it's a week. Release, it's a week behind here.
Yeah. We get that on Halloween, which is legit. So we'll probably go see that. And then I don't know. I think we're gonna go that next weekend up to Cambridge. I think some friends are doing a Halloween party in Cambridge that following weekend. But they do. So one thing we will get to do that you will be jealous of is a bonfire night, November 5th.
Well, why would I? Oh, for November 5th. Yeah, it's Guy Fawkes night. You got to do the bonfire.
Yeah. So we're going to go figure out what that is. I think they do fireworks and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Bonfire. So it's a big thing, and we're going to go.
It's a huge deal there. The only reason it's not here is because George Washington put his foot down.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. We moved into our house on the 4th of July. So, like, we annexed part of Britain on Independence Day.
Fair enough. Guy Fawkes Day is coming up. That's going to be exciting. Again, not the opposite of a hero. He's often made fun of for Guy Fawkes Day in Great Britain and the UK there especially. But during the Revolutionary War, when they were out camping on November 5th, fighting the British, and they were celebrating it. And George Washington was like, no, that's what this country's all about, the freedom. He had a belief and he went and fought for it. We're here fighting for our beliefs, freedom, and kind of squashed it. So it's not as big of a deal over here until you were an Alan Moore or a James McTeague fan or,
is that book?
Oh, V for Vendetta is so great. So read it, then watch it, then go do a bonfire. I mean, that's November 5th.
Easy, that's the plan.
Right? Sounds like it's going to be over there. So that's fantastic. But let me see. Okay. Other horror movies. So go to horror movies. What else you got to watch? So Shining, obviously, especially with Dr. Sleep coming out. I'm more still, like I said, a lot of those aren't that scary. So I go more towards like the ones that are just creepy, like The Exorcist or Children of the Corn, obviously.
Really? Children of the Corn? Of all
The Omen maybe more.
I do The Omen. Gregory Peck for sure.
Which one? There's one Children of the Corn. So for me, Children of the Corn's really creepy just because creepy kids are creepy. Just creepy kids are creepy.
Creepy kids are creepy.
And Damien, is it? I think you get more of Damien in, what was it, the second one that's like titled Damien, right?
Or something Omen like that. Omen 2, Damien, yeah.
Yeah. So the Omen one. So those all kind of together. That's why it's like, it's all dealing with creepy ass kids. And that's why it's like, this is
just, this is the guy whose daughter used to stand in the hallway and just stare down
in the dark hallway.
Okay, there's a child there. I'm going to walk
right away. My possessed child. So I don't know. Those ones are creepy. What do you, I don't know what else you got.
I always do Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. That's
my favorite scary movie. And 28 Days Later. I love
it's a good one
as well. So that's a solid film.
Early Danny Boyle.
And I mean, you could stick with Danny Boyle, Sunshine.
Yep.
Yeah. I enjoy that one as a, cause it's like sci-fi horror right at the end. And then Alien.
Oh yeah.
Or Aliens. I'm okay with either of those.
Good choices. Good choice. What about Event Horizon? How do you feel about that one?
Dude, I love Event Horizon.
I like it too. I like it a lot.
But I saw it in 98 when it came out.
Right, in theaters.
Like, this is a terrifying movie.
It was. And Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill, yeah, mm-hmm. they're fantastic at it. It's absolutely horrifying. That was all right around the time with that, really, that sci-fi. That was more horror side, but there was that sci-fi, like, jolt you with horror. So, like, Sphere was one of them. Yeah. What was the one? Well, there was Sphere. What was the one where they were like,
down? With Sphere is ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Is Sphere the one where they were underwater?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. Okay. So that's the one I'm thinking of. That's Dustin Hoffman and.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman and.
Gosh.
Lawrence Fishburne again, maybe?
I think so. I think so. He was in everything right then. No wonder he was in The Matrix. He was in every movie. Gosh, some good ones right there. I'm trying to think of some outside ones that we wouldn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
You should be good at this recommendation. So horror movies.
Outside ones?
Horror movies that most people don't go to.
Oh, God.
Ooh,
I can't look at my movie collection because I took them all out of the cases.
I just looked over at my Criterion wall. So that's a good answer there.
Okay, some good ones there.
Antichrist with Antichrist.
The Witch is really, really good.
Yes. Okay.
That one. But I'm pretty sure it's still on Netflix. It's 100% legit.
If you want a little bit more comedy in your murder, there's Eating Raoul. That's a good Criterion release there.
Mm-hmm.
The name implies directly what it is.
About cannibalism.
A little bit about it. You could always go old school with Twilight Zone. And gosh, speaking of cannibalism, there was the one Twilight Zone episode that always sticks out to me more than the other ones. And it's where they own the little diner. And they started killing the people and serving them up as steaks, and it got popular. And then the one person tries to alert it to the cop, but the cop loves the diner so much that he helps them kill that person. Even
nice. We got a Sweeney Todd remake. Yeah. I like it. I'm on board.
Yeah. It was a little different than the Sweeney Todd. It was more not in 600 years ago.
Sure. So. Hence the remake word that I added there on the end, bud.
But Sweeney Todd's a good one. A lot of Tim Burton stuff we could do. Mm-hmm. For the family, Coraline can make your kids not sleep for weeks. Good. This is good
stuff. You could just go straight Dark Crystal if we're trying to literally terrorize children.
Have you watched the new series yet? I've only gotten 2 episodes in.
Oh, it's great.
Is it? There's so much to watch. And now BoJack just dropped another season. And I just, this morning while I was editing the podcast, was watching Dolomite, which is actually pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Did you do Big Mouth season 3?
I haven't watched Big Mouth season 1.
Bro.
I have not watched Big Mouth. I know. So it did not look that good to me. And then everybody's you realize Kroll, that's like Nick Kroll and what's his name? I was like, yes, I get it. I do like those guys. They're funny.
It's another thing that's way better than it should be. It's fantastic.
Really? But I'm still, as I said, I'm on Discovery, which is really good. I still have Swamp Thing, Titans. I started with the kids Raising Dion, which was that web short that Michael B. Jordan picked up his production company. We started that one.
Watch Swamp Thing. I'll let you know.
Really? See, Swamp Thing was one of my, that was also Alan Moore. See, Alan Moore, as you know, is from favorite writers. And I really, as a kid, liked the shitty early 90s show with Swamp Thing. I loved the early 90s Flash.
Where the guy was really excited about having done military service in Okinawa, right?
Sure.
That's the only part I remember about that. Paramilitary guys, I was in Okinawa. And I was I don't know what that means. Apparently, it's supposed to be impressive. Good on you. And then he gets thrown 30 feet by a Swamp Thing. And that's what you get.
I don't remember that. I'll have to watch it again. But I don't know. There's some good stuff happening right now. So we just listed.
What's that new Netflix has a horror series Daybreakers.
So zombie, people are talking about it.
An apocalypse teenager situation. It looks pretty good.
I haven't watched it, but it's getting good buzz for sure too. So anyways, as we're doing the thing that I always say we shouldn't do on the Nerdcast, we're just listing stuff, right?
But we're excited. It's okay.
If it's the right time of year to list all these things, but we want to hear what you're going to be watching and doing for Halloween. So obviously, wherever you listen to us, chime in the comments, whether it's over at projectnerd.com, on our Podbean page, many other places you can find us. Obviously, it's hard to leave comments on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, but what you could do is leave us a review and then come back over to our site and leave a comment. Then we'd love you forever. So right. Come play with us. I need to watch The Shining. Oh, Ryan really wants The Shining. He wants to watch it. I think it's time to show him this week with the Halloween.
Well, he's He's in high school. He's fine. Yeah.
He's fine.
Only mild nightmares in high school.
Right.
Also, like, you forget with kids that that movie came out in the 70s. And so, like,
I don't know, dude. Like, that one still holds
expectations
up.
Would be, oh, no, the terror holds up. But, like, there's something about it that I just feel like kids are going to be like, why does he drive a Beetle?
I don't know. Beetles are cool now.
Cool, man.
They're still cool right now. Whatever. People are driving them all over the place. Yeah, it was Jack Nicholson's prime. We were talking about Tallgrass. I can't remember what made it bring it up, but we were talking about Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for something with that.
That's another good movie.
Yeah. Gosh, we just need to do a Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
Chinatown, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining. Like, I mean, he had a pretty good run there.
Right.
For sure.
So other horror movies. Are you a big fan of the Hellraiser series?
Never got into them.
Really?
Actually. Yeah, no.
I don't think I ever saw past the first one, to be honest. But our other Adam at Project Nerd did, and he's watching them all again and writing a lengthy article one by one, surviving Hellraiser. And it's pretty fun. Adam gets a little creative with his writing, a little just definitely. So if you're interested in it, you like Hellraiser, want to learn more about it, there was 10 of them made. Again.
Are you kidding me?
10 of them. So he has a 10-week article series happening right now covering every Hellraiser movie. So, yeah, insane.
Dude, why aren't we writing movies? Like, how
I don't know.
Greenlit.
I don't know. Anyway, so Hellraiser, go check it out. Surviving Hellraiser over at Project Nerd. You can find it in our originals as well as just going to the search and doing Surviving Hellraiser. Real quick, some news that we want to talk about outside of the Halloween stuff was HBO Max is swinging right now. So Netflix, we joked about, was going to announce all the big stuff and start releasing all these things right ahead of Disney Plus. So we're going to get The Irishman, the week before Disney Plus. BoJack, part one of season six just dropped. They did the teaser for Stranger Things season four, although that's not going to, like, they had just released season three, but they're like, we still got to give you a teaser. They announced not only that the Ozark's coming back for third season, but a fourth season as well. They guaranteed two more seasons for that. Oh, dude, they're trying. They're like, please don't leave, people. Please don't leave. So they're going buzzing. Well, HBO along the way has said, we're no longer just going to be HBO Go or Now or HBO. It's just going to become one big thing called HBO Max, where you get it all. And we're going to make some shit happen too. So they've already, a long time ago, struck that Sesame Street deal to where they fund, and people complain about this, so just remember, they fund Sesame Street completely. They get to air the episode, and then less than a week later, it still airs on PBS. That's still part of the agreement. So it's a really cool deal for those of young kids. But biggest news was after 10 great seasons of Adventure Time, it wrapped. And I remember, dude, I sat on stage with John DiMaggio doing a panel after it was like a week or two after he recorded the last episode. And he was almost in tears, like talking about leaving that character. So Adventure Time will exclusively be streaming on HBO Max, as well as a new, I think they've guaranteed at least 4 1-hour specials called Distant Lands. So we're going to get more Adventure Time. That's
there
pretty cool. I'm pretty stoked for that. That's a fun one. And you get the exclusive streaming rights to the Studio Ghibli collection. So all those movies are going to be heading to HBO. For
how does that work? So weren't they released via Disney here in the States?
Disney only had a timed rights on them. So if you are to buy the physical copy now, it's no longer from Disney.
Really?
Yeah.
How did they let that lapse?
So what's great is that that Disney collection that I have over there of them, they are worth a lot of money right now. If you own the Blu-ray or DVD release of the Disney version of these movies, they are worth a lot of money. But yeah, I don't know if...
I mean, they've got so much money. It can't be a money thing.
I feel like it had to be them just... I'd have to walk over to my shelf because I have a couple that are post-Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just Ghibli's released. I think they just... we're big enough now that they just won't we will release some international on our own and not have to split this money with Disney anymore, right? Because kudos to Disney. We got to give them credit, though. The reason Ghibli's as big as it is over here is specifically Spirited Away. When they pushed that in there and then it won Best Animated Film, nominated for a bunch of stuff. And then after that, it felt like we got every Ghibli right in our face, and it was beautiful and wonderful. But if you want to keep watching and you don't own them, you have to go to HBO. Which also HBO premiered Watchmen, their new series, Alan Moore. There's a running theme in this podcast.
Did you check it out?
Alan Moore. I'm going to wait. I want to wait till there's enough because I don't want to watch. Disney Plus is already going to have to recondition me to watching stuff weekly because they're not going to release it all at once. And I am totally a binge culture person right now just because of how busy everybody's so busy. There's so much going on.
Like, if I find time, I don't find 1 hour a day. I find
like, and I'm not going to find
hours in a group. Right.
Exactly. So 8.5 million people streamed it. It was their biggest premiere since Westworld, the biggest series premiere, not season premiere, because I'm sure Game of Thrones season premieres were definitely up there. But it was 8.5. Crazy. Just from the streaming alone. Wow. When it dropped, that was Sunday night's numbers before you even get into the people that are watching it now throughout the rest of the week or people like us who are waiting. So a lot of people were interested, I guess.
Well, yeah. And it's a direct sequel to the book, right?
Right. Yeah. So in the movie's pretty, as much as we make fun of Zack Snyder now, the movie does a really good job of staying faithful to the source materials.
That's a with solid
the,
film.
Right. With a few big changes that I think were beneficial to making it a successful movie. So after that is where this is supposed to take place. So even if you didn't read it, you could watch the movie, then watch this. It's just make sure, as my understanding, I don't know a whole lot about it. They haven't really given us too much information ahead of time. I would just assume be very familiar with Rorschach's character and his reason for doing the things. I mean, I could go into Watchmen for hours and talk about the six different heroes, quotes, and their view on humanity, because it's all different. And that's what drives them to do what they do. It's just, oh, it's so deep. It's so fantastic. I don't know, but that was huge. So HBO did a big deal. Has got some big news coming out right here ahead of Disney as well. And Disney is advertising Disney Plus like crazy right now too.
Now, do you think, so I mean, for our Verizon friends, you get that Disney Plus thing, right?
I mean, after I already paid 3 years for it.
Yes. That's the thing.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you'll be all right.
I want it to stack.
We got 3 years for the price of one, yeah?
Nah, for the price of like
one and a half.
Yeah. It was like half off.
Basically. You'll be okay, bud.
It was 40% off basically to do 3 years. Yeah. I think it was $170 and you got all 3 years. So
does Disney own Verizon?
No.
Time Warner?
No.
I don't know who Verizon is. Are they by themselves?
I don't know. We'd have to look. They definitely don't own them. I think it's just a matter of because AT&T right before that announced that anybody who's an AT&T customer will get their streaming, the upcoming Comcast or whatever streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Called for free, right? The NBC Universal one, excuse me for that, because that's all the same company. Comcast, AT&T, NBC Universal. So the NBC Universal streaming service, that's going to be coming and it's going to have, that's the reason The Office got pulled from Netflix, right? All those big shows are going to be on there. You get it free with your AT&T if you are a wireless AT&T customer. So they announced that before they've even really announced anything about the streaming service. And then it seemed like a week later is when Verizon and Disney announced that partnership. But Verizon's been doing, like, if you have an unlimited plan, you get free Apple Music Unlimited as well
right
now. So I could be having free Apple Music Unlimited and free Disney Plus streaming. And that's even more crazy because all the rumors about Disney and Apple getting in bed together, if you haven't heard those.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Oh, if Disney buys Apple, it's done. Like it is getting out of hand at this point. It's insane. So I don't know. I don't know where the tie is. Maybe it was just a lucrative deal for both of them. Verizon saw the other ones announcing stuff because T-Mobile's announcing all their new tech and saw it as a good one. But yes, if you haven't paid for the 3 years, which was offered to anybody who is a Disney like rewards member, anybody who has the Disney credit card, which was my thing, or not even credit card, your debit card. You can go to your bank and get a Disney debit card at most of the big banks. It's pretty easy. And you get like all kinds of great deals. And I think they offered it to one more group of people for that 3 years. And everybody, I was going to wait and just do the monthly to get the Hulu and ESPN Plus. But I'm like, I don't really need ESPN Plus. I watch sports like 2 weeks a year if a Texas team is in the playoffs. Right? I have MLB TV during the summer for the rest of it. So, and none of that's on, it's on Fox and TBS, the playoffs for baseball. So I'm like, what am I going to watch on ESPN Plus? Watch K-State upset Oklahoma? Oh, what? Anyways, all the sports and Alan Moore references. Okay, I'm rambling at this point. We are at time. Real quick, I did want to put in there, it's hoodie season. Right. Hoodie season. And Project Nerd Skate or PN Skate, excuse me, just dropped some new hoodies there.
Go do all the things with your hoodie on.
Hell yeah. And we got the our main hoodie now out. That's really cool. I like it. It's got the pink PN Skate banner on the front. And then on the back it's got the line, and down the sleeve it says land on both feet.
That's always what you want.
Right. Well, yeah. Especially if you're skating, you want to land on those feet. So there's that hoodie right at the top of the store. Our Stealth series. So you can get the gray banner, a gray lion right on the black, which looks really nice. And then, of course, we still have our lion zip hoodie and our crop banner hoodie that have been there since the beginning. So hoodie season, go get yourself a hoodie. Help us out. You support PN Skate. That money comes right back to Project Nerd and pays for people to edit this stuff so I don't have to do it all Sunday morning. Thank you. Anyways, all right. Adam, what do you got for us for some final thoughts?
Final thoughts? I mean, you stole my final thoughts. It was watch scary movies. But since I can't do that, it'll be read good books. I just picked up Hounded by Kevin Hearn. It's a Iron Druid series. So similar to Harry Dresden, which you've heard Tyler and I talk about years ago.
Extensively.
Yeah, lots years ago when I was reading through all those. So, you know, a modern setting for kind of a fantasy story. So should be very enjoyable. Haven't started it yet, but I'm looking forward to that. And I'm reading it. I feel like I've mentioned this several times. It's 1,300 pages, though, people. Give me a break. It's taking a minute to get through. But quite good. Yeah, pick up a book, read something. It's very cold where Iggy is. It's mildly cold where I am, and the sun doesn't shine here. But when it does, it is a good time of the year to be sitting outside, reading a book, get yourself a hot drink, put on a hoodie from Project Nerd Skate, and read a book.
I can still see most of the sidewalk, though, and it still hasn't stuck to it. Anyways, okay, so cool. Yeah, I guess my final thought was PN Skate. Check us out, support us, help us. Go check out our friends who are already helping us out, like Geek Garage, geek-garage.com, PN Skate, PN Publishing still. All that's up at the top of the Project Nerd website. We love you guys. There's so many of you listen to the podcast, but you listen to us on Apple or Google. And we want to make sure that you head on over to projectnerd.com and check out all the amazing things. So real quick, I mean, like, let's just look at some of the recent articles. There's the Queen for a Day Film Festival review, the announcement of Cards Against Humanity Cafe that will be opening in Chicago at the beginning of the year, surviving Hellraiser series that I just mentioned, more film festival reviews, other great podcasts like High Five and I'm Not Famous, which is actually right here on this feed as well. And some good cosplay. Let's see here. A glamorous Oogie Boogie cosplay from Nightmare Before Christmas. Sanderson Sisters cosplay. The Joker cosplay from the new movie, which we were just talking about. Some great interviews over there. All kinds of fun stuff. So we know you love our podcast. If you really like what we're doing here, when you get to wherever you're going, don't do it in the car while you're driving. Still listen to the podcast while you're driving. But when you get to where you're going, type in that project-nerd.com in your browser. Check out all the awesome stuff we're doing. And love us. Show us love. We love love. Felt that was a little rambly for me today, but that's okay.
No, we were good. We did good.
Okay. We'll see.
People love us. You'll see.
We'll see. People love us. All right. Well, that's it for episode 211 of the Nerdcast. We will be back next week, either us, more people in studio, or a previous recorded thing. I don't know, but it'll be there. It'll be there. That'll be 212. This is 211. So until next time, same nerd channel. Catch you next week.
See ya.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.